Welcome back, everybody. And welcome back to you, Jennifer.
Howdy.
What's up?
You know, it's a good day to read the Bible.
It is a good day to read the Bible. You know why? You know what? Do you know why I've brought you here today?
Why have you brought me here
Well,
today?
we're going to be reading a song today, Jean, and I know that you are a bit of a songstress yourself.
Whoa.
Yes, and so I will, guys, Jean has volunteered very kindly. And with humility, all the humility of Moses, who was the most humble man on
He was
earth.
the most humble man on earth.
Yeah, as he was quick to point out. She's offered to sing Deuteronomy chapter 32 today when we get to it. So I think that is amazing, Jean. I'm amazed that you know the melody.
I do.
It must have taken a lot of.
You know, that was a part of my college education.
Absolutely. Don't worry, guys, we will not be singing any scripture today, but that's okay. We will be, however, reading Deuteronomy 31 and 32 and Galatians chapter 4. And do you know why?
Because it is day 77.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's exactly why. That's exactly why. Jean, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're reading with me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to try not to cough up a lung during the reading today, which is amazing. I also am recovering from an ear infection. So
Oh.
my voice is like in my, you know what I mean? Like
Oh.
swimmer's ear, kind of like.
Yes. Is it kind of like the Zoom echo kind of
Yeah,
thing?
it's a lot like that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
Yeah.
super annoying. I don't know how all of you listen to my voice.
You have a wonderful voice.
Well, and now that I'm hearing it all the time, I absolutely don't agree.
Oh.
But that's okay. I'll start us off if that's okay, everybody. And oh, and welcome to Chip and Eric Read Through the Bible with Friends, and one of our friends is named Jean.
With friends.
Like the pants. One time Jean
Yes.
introduced herself in right in front of me. She said, "I'm Jean, like the pants."
You know why I do that?
Yes, because there's other spellings.
Yes, and so
Yeah,
people spell my name right.
but no one has pants called Jean. Not putting on a blue jean today.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yes. But don't call me jeans, because
exactly,
that would be strange.
because that would be like the pants.
It would
So
be.
this is it. I'm Jean, like the pant,
Oh,
the singular pant,
I will
so
revise
that when they
it.
go jeans, you say, "No, I
No.
said pant, you idiot. How could you be so stupid?" Okay, anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Joshua becomes Israel's leader. When Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, "I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Then Moses called for Joshua, Moses called for Joshua as all Israel watched, and he said to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you, and he will neither fail you nor abandon you."
Public reading of the Book of Instruction. So Moses wrote this entire body of instruction in a book and gave it to the priests, who carried the Ark of the Lord's covenant, and to the elders of Israel. Then Moses gave them this command: at the end of every seventh year, the year of release, during the festival of shelters, you must read this book of instruction to all the people of Israel when they assemble before the Lord your God at the place he chooses. Call them all together, men, women, children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so they may hear this book of instruction and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of these instructions. Do this so that your children who have not known these instructions will hear them and will learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy.
Israel's disobedience predicted. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The time has come for you to die. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tabernacle, so that I may commission him there." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tabernacle, and the Lord appeared to them in a pillar of cloud that stood at the entrance to the sacred tent. The Lord said to Moses, "You are about to die and join your ancestors. After you are gone, these people will begin to worship foreign gods, the gods of the land where they are going. they will abandon me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will blaze forth against them. I will abandon them, hiding my face from them, and they will be devoured. Terrible trouble will come down on them. And on that day, they will say, these disasters have come down on us because God is no longer among us. At that time, I will hide my face from them on account of all the evil they commit by worshiping other gods. So write down the words of this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Help them learn it so it may serve as a witness for me against them. For I will bring them into the land I swore to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. There they will become prosperous, eat all the food they want, and become fat. But they will begin to worship other gods. They will despise me and break my covenant. And when great disasters come down on them, this song will stand as evidence against them, for it will never be forgotten by their descendants. I know the intention of these people, even now before they have entered the land I swore to give them. So that very day, Moses wrote down the words of the song and taught it to the Israelites. Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, be strong and courageous, for you must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you. When Moses had finished writing the entire body of instruction in a book, he gave this command to the Levites who carried the Ark of the Lord's covenant. Take this book of instruction and place it inside the Ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, so it may remain there as a witness against the people of Israel. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Even now, while I'm still alive and here with you, you have rebelled against the Lord. How much more rebellious will you be after my death? Now summon all the elders and officials of your tribes so that I can speak to them directly and call heaven and earth to witness against them. I know that after my death, you will become utterly corrupt and will turn from the way I have commanded you to follow. In the days to come, disaster will come down on you, and you will do what is evil in the Lord's sight, making him very angry with your actions.
The Song of Moses.
Oh, here we go.
So Moses recited this entire song publicly to the assembly of Israel. Listen, O heavens, and I will
speak. This is Deuteronomy 32, just so everyone knows.
Oh, right, Deuteronomy 32. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. Let my teaching fall on you like rain. Let my speech settle like dew. Let my words fall like rain on tender grass, like gentle showers on young plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. But they have acted corruptly toward him. When they act so perversely, are they really his children? They are a deceitful and twisted generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your father who created you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High assigned lands to the nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples according to the number in his heavenly court. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is his special possession. He found them in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They followed no foreign gods. He let them ride over the highlands and feast on the crops of the fields. He nourished them with honey from the rock and olive oil from the stony ground. He fed them yogurt from the herd and milk from the flock, together with the fat of lambs. He gave them choice rams from Bashan and goats, together with the choicest wheat. You drank the finest wine and made from the juice of grapes. But Israel soon became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plump, and stuffed. They abandoned the God who had made them. They made light of the rock of their salvation. They stirred up his jealousy by worshiping foreign gods. They provoked his fury with detestable deeds. They offered sacrifices to demons which are not God, to gods they had not known before, to new gods only recently arrived, to gods their ancestors had never feared. You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth. The Lord saw this and drew back, provoked to anger by his own sons and daughters. He said, I will abandon them, then see what becomes of them, for they are a twisted generation, children without integrity. They have roused my jealousy by worshiping things that are not God. They have provoked my anger with their useless idols. Now I will rouse their jealousy through people who are not even a people. I will provoke their anger through the foolish Gentiles. For my anger blazes forth like fire and burns to the depths of the grave. It devours the earth and all its crops and ignites the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters upon them and shoot them down with my arrows. I will weaken them with famine, burning fever, and deadly disease. I will send the fangs of wild beasts and poisonous snakes that glide in the dust. Outside, the sword will bring death, and inside, terror will strike both young men and young women, both infants and the aged. I would have annihilated them, wiping out even the memory of them, but I feared the taunt of Israel's enemy, who might misunderstand and say, "Our own power has triumphed. The Lord had nothing to do with this."
But Israel is a senseless nation. The people are foolish without understanding. Oh, that they were wise and could understand this. Oh, that they might know their fate. How could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? But the rock of our enemies is not like our rock, as even they recognize. Their vine grows from the vine of Sodom, from the vineyards of Gomorrah. Their grapes are poison and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents and deadly poison of cobras. The Lord says, "Am I not storing up these things, sealing them away in my treasury? I will take revenge. I will pay them back. In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive, and their destiny will overtake them. Indeed, the Lord will give justice to his people, and he will change his mind about his servants. And when he sees their strength is gone, and no one is left, slave or free, then he will ask, 'Where are the gods, the rocks they fled to for refuge? Where now are those gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their offerings? Let those gods arise and help you. Let them provide you with shelter. Look now, I myself am he. There is no other God but me. I am the one who kills and gives life. I am the one who wounds and heals. No one can be rescued from my powerful hand. Now I raise my hand to heaven and declare, as surely as I live, when I sharpen my flashing sword and begin to carry out justice, I will take revenge on my enemies and repay those who reject me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh, the sword of the slaughtered and the captives and the heads of the enemy leaders. Oh, sorry, the blood of the slaughtered and the captives and the head of the enemy leaders. Rejoice with him, you heavens, and let all God's angels worship him. Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles, and let all the angels be strengthened in him. For he will avenge the blood of his children, and he will take revenge against his enemies. He will repay those who hate him and cleanse his people's land." So Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and recited all the words of this song to the people. When Moses had finished reciting all these words to the people of Israel, he added, "Take heart all the words of warning I have given you today. Pass them on as a command to your children, so they will obey every word of these instructions. These instructions are not empty words. They are your life. By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you will occupy when you cross the Jordan River."
Moses' death foretold. That same day, the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Moab, to the mountains east of the river, and climb Mount Nebo, which is across from Jericho. Look out across the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the people of Israel as their own special possession. Then you will die there on the mountain. You will join your ancestors, just as Aaron, your brother, died on Mount Hor and joined his ancestors. For both of you betrayed me with the Israelites at the waters of Meribah at Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. You failed to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel there. So you will see the land from a distance, but you may not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel."
Okay. Now we will jump forward to Galatians chapter 4. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law,
so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir.
Paul's concern for the Galatians. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God, or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I am telling you the truth? Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right, but let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone. But at this distance, I don't know how else to help you.
Abraham's two children. Tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She's the free woman, and she's our mother. As Isaiah said, "Rejoice, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into a joyful shout, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit. But what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman. We are children of the free woman." And that is our reading today. Well, what a reading it was. What a song. Can you imagine? Like, God's like, okay, learn this song. And Moses is like, okay, got it. Okay, now go teach everyone else. I mean, it is so catchy.
Yeah. I can imagine it in like this really like minor key.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Super, super dark.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And lots of like.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway. So that's crazy. Good on Moses. What a guy.
Yeah.
Memory. 120 years old. Can remember 58 million stanzas of this song off the cuff. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Hey, well, we read all that. We had two questions in mind. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? Mm-hmm. And Jean, you get to pick first.
Well, I've been thinking about how this helps me love others more.
Okay.
Yeah. And so both of these passages have such a strong, like, law versus freedom.
Uh-huh.
And
big time.
Yeah, they just pair so beautifully. And it helps me love others more because it gives me a perspective of just how desperate our situation in sin is. Mm. And that when I'm, you know, in the presence of people, or even just kind of reflecting on my own errors and my own sin that needs dealt with, what God has done for me and what God has done for other people. And he's clearly given us instruction on what not to do. And so when I see people stuck in, you know, these situations that their sin has kind of, you know, I think about like those gates that cattle get kind of like shuffled down.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, that's sin. Like it just kind of corrals us,
yeah,
and takes us down a certain path. And it's someone has to help break us out of that. Mm. And that's what Jesus does. So this helps me love others more because it gives me clarity on seeing sin for what it really is,
sure,
and how destructive it is to people's lives. And that Jesus gives us that freedom, and how much I want to clearly communicate that through my own life and through my words, to people that desperately need that freedom.
Yeah. So. Man, yeah, that you're right about that, and just the way that these passages go together and really just show that exactly what you're describing. Pretty cool. Well, good, Gene. Thank you.
Yeah.
Man, so how's this help me love God more? How's this help me love God more? A couple different ways. There is, of course, the like overwhelming, I can love God when I exercise my freedom instead of trying to earn my way to him. Like, that is definitely the theme of the Galatians passage.
Yeah.
I think there's something cool in the Deuteronomy passage, though. This idea of, like, knowing we're going to let God down.
Mm-hmm.
And just acknowledging that. And just, you know, Moses is planning for it. He's like, listen, you guys suck. Like, you're going to definitely fail. Okay? Like, here's the deal. Like, I've been with you this whole time. And you're terrible. Like, what's it going to be like when I'm gone? And by the way, as we're reading that, I'm going, Joshua's just standing there like, okay, but they're going to be worse? Oh,
thanks for
no wonder I just keep hearing to be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be awful. Right. Yeah. So, you know, just this acknowledgement. Moses sees it. God sees it. And the people of Israel are supposed to confess it as well. This idea that we are going to let God down. That is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's quick to forgive. And so I think that, like, this idea that God, today, you know, and you could do this every day, God, today, I'm probably going to fail you. And when I do, make sure I feel it, you know, convict me, guide me back, and help me to repent of those things so I can get back into a good, solid fellowship with you. And I just think, man, there's nothing we can do to earn it. That's what Galatians is telling us.
Right.
It's not about earning it, but it's about honoring it. Right? We can't earn it, but we can honor it. And what Christ has done, we can honor through our actions. And I just think that that's a whole different thing. It just looks completely different. So, yeah. And then, of course, there's this idea that Deuteronomy is pointing out, is looking forward to what Galatians is looking back to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Deuteronomy is saying, like, we're going to fail. And Galatians is going, don't you remember that you failed?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, okay, cool. So like that did happen. And now the future is, man, we can just walk with Christ. We just walk with Christ.
Yeah.
It's by faith. We're not children of the slave wife. We're children of the free. Right.
Yeah.
So I just love that. I think that this really went well together today.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, and the promise that Joshua's being given is that for the Lord, your God will personally go ahead of
yeah.
you, you know, never yeah. failing you or abandoning
yep.
you. And that is such a,
yep.
I mean, that promise is seen in Galatians, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's such an encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah. That's given to Joshua. And right before that was given to the people of Israel,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's the deal, right?
Yeah.
Like God, that is the deal. And I love that Moses gets to say that,
mm-hmm.
you know, like he's probably still not thrilled about it, but it's fine. Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you guys for reading with us today, yeah. listening and tuning in. And thank you, Gene, for being here.
A pleasure.
Guys, it's BOGO Gene Week.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So we've got one gene today, and we'll have another gene tomorrow.
Will it be spelled the same?
It'll be jeans. Like the pants. Not the pants, the pant. You fool. That's what you should say. That's what you say to someone. You fool, and you shake your finger at them.
Oh, there's scripture about saying calling people fools.
Yeah, but like if they call you pants.
Oh, well, that's different.
Yeah, maybe. I think there is an asterisk near that.
There's got to be forgiveness in there too, so.
Well, I don't know if pants were really a thing.
Just don't call me slacks.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. Jeans. We're keeping it casual around here. Jeans.
Okay, well, good job, everybody.
I was trying to think of what I would be. Eric like what? Eric like the Viking, but I'm not like the Viking.
Yeah.
Because I have a sea. Vikings love the sea, I know, but...
Did you see that in my brain?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just crossed my brain.
I know. I saw it.
Yes.
The Vikings have K's in their name, so my mom and dad really failed me. Hey, big shout out to my mom and dad for failing to name me right.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Really appreciate that.